He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Well, happy Easter to every one of you. I'm sorry our live stream didn't work. We knew it was a threat to that things would be overloaded, the capacity. So, hey, we're going to drop this video up for you guys too. So, I want to just wish you a wonderful Easter. The year was 1985. Personally, I think it's one of the greatest years in professional sports for my teams. But in that year, there was a great battle that took place. A man named Rocky Balboa fought in the ring against a Russian named Ivan Drago. And he was big and bad and mean and tough, and Rocky beat him. And it was incredible because, as we now know, that essentially ended the Cold War for us, which was, you know, kind of nice. That movie, Rocky IV, has a soundtrack. And it's still to this day, I own it. I've owned it for years. But to this day, it is my greatest, my number one for motivational workout albums. I love it. And there's a song on that soundtrack. No one really knows this song unless you have the album and listen to it, but called The Sweetest Victory. And that's what I actually titled the message this year, is The Sweetest Victory. This is what Easter is for us. It is the sweetest victory we could ever have. Easter is a win for you, for me. It doesn't matter right now. It doesn't matter the hardships anyone's in. Easter supersedes everything going on in our lives. Easter is a win, and it's the sweetest win. It's the sweetest victory we can have. We experienced on Good Friday death, the death of Christ, the loss of hope, the loss of direction and purpose. But on Sunday morning, when Easter comes, we recognize that it's all victorious. This is the sweetest victory. We thought we had lost everything, and instead we just gained more than we ever knew was possible. This is what Easter is for us, and it's pretty sweet, isn't it? I know right now it's really easy to consider our losses. We're at such an interesting time. You know, today, the Masters is supposed to be on. This actually is the greatest single day of the golf year for golf fans, because it's the championship day of the Masters, and obviously it's not happening. You know, we're not meeting like we want to at St. Paul Westport. We're not in the sanctuary. We're not seeing each other, hugging each other. We're missing out on that big time. And that hurts. We're counting our losses very much. Health is a reality for a number of people and our loved ones. And my daughter Jilly has been talking for a year, literally a year. You know, we do an Easter egg hunt for children and in our church on Easter, and it's huge. Like, the community comes, the school comes. You know, it's really cool. But there's always one egg apparently it's a golden egg. I've never seen it, but I know it exists. And it gets hidden among all the other eggs. And whoever finds it, I think there's a better prize in it or something. But it's such a competition. Jilly has been talking for a year. This is her year, 2020. She gets the egg. And, you know, we count our losses. There's no opportunity for that. And I know we all have those things that we've been looking forward to. And I get it. But in spite of that, I want to ask you, so what victory is there? We're easy right now to count our losses, but what victory do we have? What sweet victory could we have? And I really believe the greatest one is the sweetest victory. It's the one of Easter. It's the one that is the resurrection of Jesus. Here's the thing, miracles happen. They happen. I think they happen all the time. And there's no such thing as a little miracle, okay? I don't believe in that. If God just did something, it's really cool. So when you pray for someone and a headache literally just disappears upon prayer, right? I've seen this happen. That's a mighty miracle of God. When when you pray for protection and you're protected, it's a mighty miracle of God. When you pray for cancer to leave, I know this church has seen that before. I've literally seen this before too, where cancer, there's no other explanation other than God broke in and literally obliterated the cancer. It's incredible. And miracles are all around us. I was talking to Lars on Saturday, and a member of our church, and he was in a car accident, a bad car accident on this Saturday, the day before Easter, and his car is totaled. They had to pry open the car to get him out. It was really bad. Everybody walked away, and he's really thankful for that. But here's the thing, he found when he got home, and I'm like, "How's your neck? How's your back?" And he's okay, but he said, "In my shirt pocket, I found a bunch of pieces of windshield, of the glass in my shirt pocket. It got thrown. You know, it didn't hit him in the eye. It didn't hit him in the face. Like this car, the way he was hit, someone else had done something, and someone else didn't see somebody else waiting to turn left. You know, and it was just a moment later. If it had been just a short moment sooner, it would have been a full impact right into him personally. You know, and you look at that and you go, it's a miracle. It absolutely is. We give glory to God. And even though there's no little miracle, they're all great, the best of all miracles is resurrection. That is the miracle of all miracles. We've seen it in the Old Testament. If you're doing our readings, we're reading through the 2020 challenge in our church, reading through the Bible in a year. This week's reading, you see Elijah raise God through him, but raise the widow's son from the dead. Like he goes from dead to life. We see it in the New Testament. There are numerous. Tabitha gets raised from the dead. Lazarus. There's different people of all ages getting raised from the dead. It's the greatest miracle, because Satan is the prince of darkness. It's his kingdom is the kingdom of death. Jesus' kingdom is the kingdom of life. And life has power over death. Jesus has power over the dominion of darkness. It's the greatest miracle. And it's the greatest of all resurrections when it's Jesus himself, the Son of God. So what's the victory we have today? We might be counting our losses. What is the greatest victory? It's that Jesus rose from the dead and he has been resurrected. Resurrection is significant, and I love the gospel. You know, we walk through Good Friday and Jesus dies on the cross and all hope is gone. But here's the thing. If Jesus died on the cross for our sins, right, Good Friday, if that all went down and there was no Sunday morning, there was no resurrection, you know what that means though? It still means we're forgiven. Jesus, what he did on the cross, took our sins, he took the punishment of our sins on himself so that we could be set free. So we're still set free. We can die in peace knowing that our sins are forgiven. We're right with God. But if there's no Easter, there's nothing else. There's no afterlife. There's no resurrection. The Easter is resurrection. Easter proves that we will all be resurrected. And if your sins, if you receive what he did on Good Friday for you, you are sinless. That means you get to go be with God in his presence, and you have no sin, and you will never sin again. But if you deny Good Friday, if you deny that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, when you're resurrected a sinner and an eternal separation from God. You see, resurrection is that this was the evidence that humanity will be resurrected. There's a life that comes after death. And that life is going to last way longer than our life here on earth. This is what Jesus proved for us. We're going to do something today. I want to invite you, open your Bibles. We're going to go to Psalm 97. I don't know. I'm not trying to be different. I realize I like to do things that maybe hasn't been done before. I've never preached. I've never heard an Easter sermon out of the Old Testament, but it's out of our readings from this week, and it's right on. I think it's Fantastic. So we're going to look at Psalm 97. It's one of my it's I've always loved the psalm. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm of like acknowledging and celebrating God's kingdom over all of his creation. And we're going to read this in light of Easter. See, when we're Easter Christians, which we are, today's our day, we're going to always read the Old Testament through the filter, like through the eyes of Easter. It's absolutely because we see Christ in this and in this psalm as Easter Christians. It's always important when you read the Old Testament, read it in the context of when it was written, but also read it after, like on top of that, in another layer, read it in light of what Christ has done for us. And so we're going to do that today. So start with the first verse, Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. We see this. When I would pray this psalm today, not for a sermon, just when I would pray the psalm for today, when I see the Lord reigns, let us all rejoice. I see it as King Jesus is alive and his kingdom, he reigns over his kingdom. Like he is alive. And so we see this today and say, Jesus, you're alive. And it's like a thundering, a raucous crowds cheering. It says, let the many coastlands be glad. That means here on the East Coast, we will glorify the reigning King of Kings. That means on the West Coast, they are going to glorify the King of all kings. See, Jesus is reigning, and we're celebrating that. In the next few verses, it just sets the tone for it's kind of the around the presence of God, what's going on in his presence, right? And so it's a sweet metaphor, but clouds and thick darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries all around. His lightnings light up the world. The earth's season trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. You get this metaphor of these just these catastrophic, these dazzling storms that are ridiculously strong. Clouds, right? Thick darkness, fire, lightnings, mountains melting. And you see it, and in verse 2 it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. What did Jesus do on that cross for us? He came in righteousness into this world. He died for justice so that we could be justified by what he's done. We could be judged righteously because he took our unrighteousness to the cross for us. This is what we celebrate. This is glorious, and this is the presence of God. In the Old Testament, in the New Testament, it is his character, eternal, both ways. It's fantastic. Verse 6 says that the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. When I see that, and when I pray that today in light of Easter, I would say that the heavens and the kingdom of heaven, it's our understanding of church today. Like this is it. We proclaim his righteousness. We want people to see his glory. We want to proclaim the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's the gift of life that he gives. How amazing. Easter gets favor. I know the whole Easter bunny thing, and the Easter bunny gets a lot of attention on Easter too, but Easter has so much favor. It's a holiday play, not just because it's a Sunday. I mean, it's a holiday. School spring breaks are built around it typically. Like the whole idea of it is Easter is significant. And wow, the church, this is what we have. We have King Jesus to proclaim. There's already favor on this holiday and for this holidays. It says all worshipers of images are put to shame, who make their boast in worthless idols. Worship him, all you gods. That's actually quoted in Hebrews 1. The idea of Easter and seeing things through the lens of Easter. Verses 8, 9. Zion hears and is glad. That's like Jerusalem, the heart of Jerusalem. And the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. That's all the people. That's not just the center of the Jewish world. That's the daughters of Jerusalem, the daughters of Judah, the others. For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth and are exalted far above all gods. And it's just this acknowledged so widely that Jesus reigns. The psalm ends, O you who love the Lord, hate evil. He preserves the lives of his saints. He delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Light sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, and give thanks to his holy name. I love this psalm, and I love praying these psalms, thinking about Easter, thinking about what we know because Easter is a reality. We have a life after this life that Jesus forged for us. He's the first fruits of the resurrection of the dead. He's raised first. We will follow. Paul talks about that in Romans. It's just this fantastic image. See, today, Easter, it's the day of proclamation. It's the day that we proclaim the good news of what Jesus has done, that he died on the cross, that hope was lost, but he was resurrected, the greatest miracle. Every miracle's great, but resurrection's the best. And he is resurrected from the dead. The church proclaims so that the world hears and comes to know Jesus. Our Jesus is a loving Jesus, a loving God. He is for us. And justice, judgments, these things are all part of the kingdom of heaven. Absolutely. If God wasn't a judging God, he wouldn't have had to send Jesus. But there is a judgment, but the judge loves us and he desires that we're set free from our sin so that when we're judged to be righteous and we're resurrected as Jesus is. And I know I mentioned this, but the whole idea of a filter, we want to see, as a Christian today, we want to see everything through the lens of resurrection. If you could just narrow this down and say, look, everything I do, everything I'm about, I want to see through the eyes of Easter and the return of Christ. If I can do that, I can recognize that this world and all of its troubles, they're just fleeting. There's a new age coming, and it's going to be incredible. It's going to last eternally. Okay? Our problems in this world, some people live 80 years with a debilitating disease, which is pretty awful. But you know what? When they get through this world, there's a new world waiting in Christ that never ends. And there's no sickness, there's no pain, there's no suffering. You think about our challenges in this world, but when we look through the lens of Easter, when we look through the lens of resurrection and the return of Christ, all of our troubles shrink in size. Have you ever known somebody? Think of my grandparents, or whether you knew people who lived through the Depression, or their parents lived through the Depression. And did you ever I notice how careful, I've had this conversation with others before, but how careful people are to save, right? Leftovers are, food that you don't eat. There's no such thing as scraps that, just get tossed. Everything is saved. There's why? Why would somebody who lived through the Depression think so drastically on, we are gonna get the most out of this, we're gonna save this, we're not gonna spend money foolishly on this? Why would they be so set? Because everything they would see through the lens of the Great Depression. As a follower of Jesus, everything we see comes through the lens of Easter, this day, that Jesus, it's the sweetest victory. And the return of Christ has been promised, just like the resurrection was promised. And so we trust that, the return of Christ, he's coming back as well. There's no greater gift. There's no greater victory. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for dying for us and then for rising for us. We love you, Jesus. Lord, let us surrender ourselves to you and accept your desire to forgive us of our sin and your desire to set us free so that we're not a slave to sin, but we're actually princes and princesses. We're royalty in the kingdom of heaven. We thank you for what you've done for us. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.